First, political news stories and the arguments that follow them feel like they're just about everywhere these days. That may be especially true for kids and teenagers who spend a lot of time on social media. Political memes circulate on popular apps like TikTok, and even Snapchat has political channels. Young people have also been a key part of in-person activism, taking part in demonstrations about racial justice, climate change, and gun reform. With so much political content and emotion to absorb, what's the psychological impact on kids? And is there a health balance between being engaged in the news and taking some time to get away from the stress and just be a kid? Benjamin Oosterhoff is an assistant professor of psychology at Montana State University. His research focuses on adolescent political development, health, and well-being. Ben, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, Rob. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, Ben, I know you've been looking at these issues since before 2020, but given everything that's going on in 2020, is this an even bigger and more important issue when it comes to kids and the politics they see?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't know if I can say if it's bigger or more important, but I can certainly say that it's different. We find ourselves in a very different political climate and atmosphere than ever before. And that's certainly going to affect the way that kids are responding to politics, as well as adults, too.
Yeah, I know a lot of adults feel like they see a lot of news, maybe sometimes too much news. Is that something that's been happening for kids? Are they more exposed to current events than we might think they are?
Yeah, I think that I think they are more exposed than we think they are. I'm not sure if they're more exposed than they have been in the past. You know, I know it's really hard to always judge what other people are experiencing within their own social bubbles, and comparing that with, you know, how things have been trending over the last, you know, 40 years or whatever it might be. And so it's kind of a tricky question to ask. But I think one thing that I would like to pose is, we can think about, well, how much do we expect kids to be paying attention to politics? If I were to ask, you know, how many kids between the ages of 11 and 15 would you expect to have at least some level of political interest? You know, that's a question we can ask, you know, on the show, actually. If I pose that question, what would you think?
I don't know. I mean, I have kids that are a little bit older than that, and they're kind of interested. I don't know, 30-40%. I'll just make up some numbers. That's my guess.
Yeah, that's a great guess. So we have some data coming from an entire middle school. So we surveyed the entire middle school. We don't have a selection bias of who participated. And 55% of middle schoolers are at least a little bit interested in politics right now.
Now, let's talk about the kind of politics. By a lot of measures, our politics are really polarized right now, and people are kind of angry at either end of things. Does that have an effect on kids for better or worse?
Yeah. So that's actually a question that we're digging into currently. We've been interested more in how kids experience politics from an emotional side and what those emotions mean for the way that they engage moving forward and what it means for their mental health. We find that kids endorse a wide variety of different costs related to being engaged in politics. Several kids say that they're stressed out. Politics makes them sad. Politics are disrupting their friendships. They're disrupting their relationships with their parents and extended family members. Politics are resulting in some extreme cases in legal costs for some young people. And so the polarized climate that we have right now definitely comes with a toll to it. I think one thing that we didn't expect, though, in doing this research is that it's also accompanied by a very, very wide variety of benefits. Kids who are politically active are doing it for a reason. They're doing it because it provides them with an avenue to connect with other kids, to connect with broader social groups, to make them feel empowered. Politics gives kids a great sense of purpose and meaning in what they're doing, and it increases their confidence that they can actually contribute to social change.
We're talking to Benjamin Oosterhoff from Montana State University. He's a psychology professor. He studies political development, among other things, among kids and adolescents. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are younger, whatever range you want to define that, are you paying close attention to the politics? How does that make you feel? If you're a parent, how do you talk about politics with your kids? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Then let's talk about that point. Do you have thoughts on how families can have, you know, positive, productive conversations with kids about politics that, you know, that boosts that interest in civic engagement without hopefully stressing kids out too much?
Yeah, political discussions, I really cannot underemphasize the importance of them, especially within the family. One of the best predictors of whether or not young people will go on to vote, whether they'll go on to be interested in politics and engage in other avenues, is whether or not they grew up with political discussions in their home. And now, more than ever, that feels like a very challenging thing for people to do. And usually what I recommend when people have that question is, before entering into a political conversation with your kids, take a moment and reflect on what the goals of that conversation are going to be for you. You know, are you thinking that you want to have a political conversation because you want to see where your kids are at on certain issues? Are you really, really motivated to make sure that they have a specific viewpoint? Or are you just curious? Are you giving them a platform to share their ideas? Usually we find that the latter approach, you know, using it as a way for just kids to express what they're thinking and what they're feeling, is connected with a lot of benefits, where the former approach, going into it thinking, I need to make sure my kid has this specific viewpoint, is not so great.
I saw an interesting... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I saw an interesting point while I was reading up on this from I think it was a Republican politician, who said what he did with his kids was steer clear of the really controversial national stuff at first and try to look at how the local things that have a direct impact on kids' lives play out politically, like the local school board, the local government, as a good entry point into civic engagement. What do you think about that approach?
Yeah, I think that has a lot of merit to it. You know, usually it's a little bit easier for young people to begin with grasping examples and in grasping issues related to their more local community, with their school board, with, you know, their community, their larger community, decisions about whether to put in a park at a specific location. It can be a great way of kind of introducing them to those concepts. And then as they grow older and become a part of other communities, whether, you know, they move or they go to college or whatever it might be, they can kind of begin again there. I would add one caveat to that, though, and I would say I would be weary of shying away from topics your teens or your children want to talk about. If you do have a child who is interested and shows that they want to talk about the harder issues, I wouldn't shy away from them. I also wouldn't force that on them if you feel like they're not ready.
Now, what about when the political issues and news are really scary? Like my parents' generation had nuclear war. My generation had nuclear war and serial killers. Kids today fear of how climate change will impact their lives and school shootings. How about that really scary stuff? How do we talk about ways that don't just frighten them and make them maybe turn to despair?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, kids are paying attention to these things, whether or not we talk about it directly or not. So I think one thing to always keep in mind is that even if you're not having a conversation about this, they're getting this information, you know, from social media, they're getting it from their friends. You know, we have data that shows two out of three kids are talking to their friends about politics on a very regular basis, even in middle school. With that frame in mind, I think as long as you approach the conversation with a lot of empathy, sympathy, and perspective taking, so kind of meeting the child where they're at, you can kind of get a better understanding of, are they already really scared about these things? You know, do I need to serve as more of a safe haven to reassure them that, you know, they'll be all right? Are there ways to channel that fear into productive avenues of giving back? You know, that the feelings that come with contributing to fixing the problem do a lot of good to combat anxiety around those problems. And that's a great way parents can kind of help in those situations. But I think starting off, it's really important for us to go into these conversations with very, very few assumptions about where kids are at themselves.
We're talking to Ben Oosterhoff, developmental psychologist from Montana State University. We're talking about the impact that political news can have on kids and teenagers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a teenager yourself, do you feel like you're bombarded by political news? Is it part of your social media mix with your friends and the people you follow? Do you like engaging with politics? Do you feel burnt out? Parents, have you noticed kids paying more attention to politics than you did maybe at their age? Are you glad to see it? Do you worry about how it could affect their mental well-being? And how about the conversations around the dinner table or wherever? How do you talk about politics in your family? Do you talk about politics in your family with your kids? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Ben Oosterhoff, assistant professor of psychology at Montana State University, looking at the effect that political news and debate can have on young people's mental well-being. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Parents, do you see your kids, whatever age they might be, being tuned into politics, maybe more so or less so than you remember being at their age? Do you like to see them engage in the news? Do you worry about the stress it causes? How do you talk about issues of politics with your younger children, with your teenagers, whatever the case may be, if you are one of the teenagers yourself? Love to hear from you. Do you feel like you see a lot, too much, not enough? Are you politically active yourself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ben, let's talk about that. Young people, a big part of political activism at various stages in American history. The Freedom Riders and the sit-ins at diners and places like that, a lot of young people. And today, a lot of young people involved in various forms of protest activity. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. There are numerous instances where we can consider young people kind of on the forefront of social change. And I think that part of that is because young people are learning more about what the system is and forming ideas about what the system should be without being as deeply embedded within it quite yet. I think it's really interesting to take a step back and think about why young people would be gravitated towards that as much as they are. Part of it, I think, has a lot to do with considering that there are a variety of issues that that greatly affect young people, even to a greater extent than adults. When you think about issues concerning education, climate change, voting rights to some degree, there are a lot of instances where we can think about how those issues might have greater consequences for younger people than adults. And so young people can't vote in many instances until they're 18. There are some legal barriers there. And so protesting can be one way of expressing their views on those issues that they have access to.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Greendale. Mary, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call. We presently have a 14-year-old who is the last of six children. And with her ideas, with her social media involvement, with everything going on, of course, the presidency, the whole social kind of, you know, platforms that the kids are on and everything, politics does come up. And I guess I've always kind of felt like the office of the president is, well, it used to be in the past, something that should be respected. But there are so many things going on right now that there's no way that we can sit and tell our daughter to respect the person in that office with so much of what we see. And with all the fact-checking and everything going on, there's so much lying going on and manipulating and things like that. So I'm just wondering what your guess there is, you know, telling us as far as I want her to respect the presidency, but I don't see a lot of lesson learning when it comes to her and the current status of what's going on in the office right now.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Separating the presidency from a particular president that Mary is not a fan of, Ben.
Yeah, Mary, thank you. That was a very great question. So I think one thing that you can do and one thing that you really have to offer to your daughter is that you have a historical perspective on what political engagement and what the presidency, you know, means to you that your daughter might not have quite yet. So it's always important to think about that young people in many cases are experiencing politics for the very first time. And so this is providing them with a frame of reference that they might carry forward, but they don't have the frame of reference moving back. And so in a lot of ways, the way that you described your question, I feel like would be a very interesting and productive conversation to have with your daughter and to say, you know, this is what I'm worried about. Like, what are your ideas about this? Like, how do you feel about this? And it's important to always recognize that it hasn't always been this way. And I think if you keep it in a very inquisitive way, asking a lot of questions, but then also couching it in that historical kind of view, I think that would be really well received.
Mary, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Jeff now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, thank you for this topic. As a kid growing up in South Superior in Butler Park, all the ladies in the neighborhood cared about the other kids as if they were their own. There was a group of about, I'm going to say, 10 to 12 mothers. We all had a bunch of kids around the same age, and we all grew up together. In the election of 1972, some women, some mothers supported Nixon, and some mothers supported McGovern. I know because my mother had a McGovern neighborhood headquarter kind of thing. But the thing is, the women cared about their kids as though they were their own. The political differences didn't matter because it came to about creating a neighborhood and caring for each other because we're all Americans. I just think that can happen today too.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. That idea about being part of the same community and conveying that idea to kids even when there are political disagreements sounds harder now than maybe it used to be. I don't know, Ben.
Yeah, I think it might be. I think that it's, I think that with the way that we consume political information and with how polarized everything is right now, it's hard to escape it. And it's hard to feel like politics aren't relevant, even in instances where they shouldn't be relevant, such as, you know, just providing basic care for your kids and your kids in your neighborhood. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge that we're going to have to figure out as a culture moving forward. Unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for that one yet, but I do think it's a great observation.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. We're talking about kids and teenagers being exposed to politics, the effect that can have on them, maybe anxiety, the positive sides of it, and how to talk about it in families. Benjamin Oosterhoff is with us from Montana State University, assistant professor of psychology there. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Ben, we've touched on this a little bit, but the idea that, okay, if an adult is concerned about politics, they know that at least on election day, they can vote. And as you mentioned, with the voting age, most kids can't. Can that be a frustrating experience for them, not having that outlet?
I think so. I mean, a lot of our work has shown that kids would like to vote. If, you know, most young people support changing the voting age to 16, and a big part because they feel like there are issues that disproportionately affect them, that they would like to have a say in. And, you know, right now I can 100% sympathize with that take on it. That being said, I do think young people are finding very creative ways for getting involved in politics, even in the absence of voting, whether it is through social media and having conversations with people around the country or around the world about political issues, joining different groups electronically, and participating in new forms of activism, like we saw with TikTok recently. And so I think that kids are being creative about the problem. But ultimately, it will continue to go back to them wanting the ability to express their opinions in a more formal way. And that's another thing adults can do to help is just listen to kids' political attitudes, because they certainly have them.
On that thought, Carol from Madison called, couldn't stay on the air, but she said maybe we should expand the frame to include civic engagement. And Carol wonders, what would you say to something like extending voting rights for 16 or 17-year-olds to vote in things like municipal and school board election, so that, again, that local political involvement and maybe a chance to vote at the local level, Ben?
Yeah, I'm a firm advocate for expanding voting rights for young people. There are many municipalities around the United States right now that currently allow 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds to vote in them. Tacoma Park, Berkeley, California allows 16-year-olds to vote in school board elections. Oregon is voting on changing the voting age in this election. So far, the science behind that decision supports the, you know, there's no developmental reason why we shouldn't allow younger people to be more active in voting. And I think starting on a smaller scale is very a practical way of approaching that problem. And so, yes, I'm 100% behind that.
In our last minute or so, Ben, I know a problem for us grownups is often we might live in neighborhoods with like-minded people. We can very easily find online communities with people who agree with us. Do you see that as a potential pitfall for teens, that they end up, stumbling into that one point of view and not running into other points of view?
Yeah, I think that it's something that we should keep our eyes on. One thing that I think that we have going for us, especially for young people and exposure to kind of political diversity, is that young people are going to get more politically diverse conversations in classrooms. And that's something that kind of fades away as we get older. But classrooms are one place where you might expect to see greater exposure to different viewpoints. Even out-of-school activities like clubs, you may see some exposure to diverse viewpoints, more so than when you kind of have a little bit more autonomy in selecting who you spend time with. You know, kids can't usually pick who their classmates are, but when you're an adult, you can predict, you can, you know, pick who your friends are and who you're going to spend time with. So although it's something I think we need to monitor, there are some structures in place that help preserve a little bit of diversity.
Ben, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Benjamin Oosterhoff is an assistant professor of psychology at Montana State University, focusing on adolescent political development and well-being. We talked with him about how young people are impacted by political news and the disagreements that can come along with it. You can still share your thoughts, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.